Okay, I'd like to open the meeting of the House Committee on Business and Labor for February 8th, 2013. Thank you very much. We've got the witness sheet up here. I would also like to, not that we're going to get going right away, but we are. I'd like to open the public hearing on House Bills 2642 and 2643. The first bill that we're going to have is 2642, and I'd like to call up, if you'd like to come up, Representative Gomberg and Representative McEwen.
Sorry, Chair.
Thank you.
Chair Doherty.
Thank you. I have old friends that are the same way. The spelling's very, very similar. So.
Chair Doherty, I understand perfectly, and I'm delighted to be here this morning. And as a new legislator in the building, that's happening every single day. So.
I'm also, I'm very good at butchering people's names. The people from Wednesday will attest to that. But we're glad to have you here to present your very first bill to us.
Thank you, Chair Doherty and members of the committee. It's an honor to be here this morning. As my fifth day in the building as a legislator, this has been a very interesting week for me.
And if you would like to identify yourself again for the record, please.
My apologies. My name is Katty McEwen. I represent House District 9 from Coos Bay Yahats on the Oregon coast.
Thank you.
Prior to the recession that hit Oregon's workers and families so hard, Oregon saw an extended period of job growth. It was a very exciting time for us. Between 1996 and 2006, over 300,000 jobs were created in Oregon. In the period between 2007 and 2009, as you all know, we've lost close to 50,000 jobs in Oregon. I come from a community and a region that, because it has historically been a resource-based economy, was hit particularly hard during that time, but prior to that had been in a recession for 30 years. So we're in a little bit different position than other parts of the state. Today, in the spirit of helping to smooth the way for a recovery from the recession that we've been in the most recent time, and in my region over that 30-year period that we've been suffering from, I bring two bills. House Bill 2642 is a bill that, in the spirit of helping businesses be successful, directs agencies, governments, with functions related to issuance of licenses, certifications, and permits to assist businesses in my word, and to simplify it, to create an environment where they can be successful by streamlining a process. Particularly startups that are bringing new building or new jobs to our region and to our state. And I had, Chair Doherty, I had prepared my remarks including both bills, because the spirit is That's the fine. Same for both of the bills.
That's why we gaveled both of them in, so
that would be great.
Discuss
Thank
both
you so
at the
much.
Same time.
And House Bill 2643 asks the Secretary of State to do a study to look at fees regarding small business startups at the state and at the local level, to see if there's a way that we could potentially take a burden off small businesses and allow them an opportunity to maybe invest in inventory, in their workforce, in rent, in the things that they need to do to be successful, in a way that might offer them an opportunity to get started up a little bit quicker. My intention in bringing these bills is to continue the vital conversation that others in the state have begun over the last few years in my region about permitting and regulatory processes, how we can better identify those barriers to business growth, and where we can do a better job of providing certainty in a system. I'll give you a little small story here as to why this became so important to me as I was running for this office. We had a company come to my region that was ready to invest a number of million dollars in an infrastructure. It's a mining operation. They had an issue with permitting that really brought to me the need for just a look at the regulatory processes that we use in the state. They got to a point where, because things weren't done in a time certain manner, that they had a permit that was delayed, And they were in a business cycle that for them was going to end. Their financing ability was going to go away on a particular, they had a business cycle they were functioning in. A permit was held up. At 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, it came to a point where we had to do heroic measures in our community with our state delegation and a number of other folks who knew who to call and where to go to get a permit moved. And my goal is to provide some certainty in a process so these things don't happen when businesses are trying to invest large sums of money in a community and create jobs. I think another part of the spirit of why I'm bringing these two particular bills has to do with the differences between urban and rural. And I was very interested in the bill during the special session in December and the state's ability to step up and assist one of our banner homegrown companies in making some certainty in a tax structure so that they could be successful. The spirit of these bills has to do with creating some certainty in permitting timelines and predictability in a process so that small businesses who may be bringing 5 or 10 or 15 jobs, which are just as important to a small rural community as 500 jobs in the metro area, so that they can have predictability in a process. But how can we better identify the barriers is a real key for me. This is not about creating shortcuts in permitting in the regard that we want people to do their due diligence. They also have to hit all the benchmarks with agencies that they're doing everything the right way. We're not taking shortcuts on the environmental side, but that if they do hit the benchmarks and that they have done the things that they need to do to have a permit awarded, that it's awarded in a timely and certain manner. I know this is the first week of the session, and I've been in the building 5 days, and during the time that these bills were put on your docket, Madam Chair, a number of conversations have occurred. My staff and I have had conversations about these three bills with a number of entities. We've reached out to the governor's office. We've reached out to the Oregon Business Association. We've talked to the League of Oregon Cities and a number of other entities from the someone from the Oregon Business Plan, some staff from the Secretary of State's office, and we've had an opportunity to have a number of conversations regarding these bills. However, most of our partners that we would like to have these conversations with really haven't even met yet, so they're not able to help us weigh in on suggestions as to how we can improve these bills or things that they would like to see come as these bills move forward. So what I bring to you today are two bills that in the spirit of creating an environment in where Oregon is helping small and large businesses to move forward with siting here, creating jobs here, and helping us recover from an economy that's been very difficult in all regions of the state, but particularly in urban areas. I bring these to you. I would love to have conversations about what you would like to suggest that I consider as these bills move forward, and we will continue to have those conversations with our partners as we move forward and the session unfolds and they actually have a chance to weigh in after they've met also.
Very good, very good. We will be looking forward to that because it's a very good bill. Representative Gomberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm David Gomberg from House District 10. I'm a co-sponsor of the bills, and I'm a small business person. I'm very pleased that you scheduled these bills so early in the session. I think that sends a very positive message to the smaller and micro-sized businesses in Oregon. You know, so often we have conversations about creating jobs, and we have those conversations in terms of big bills for big companies. We talk about regional strategies for job creation, and there's nothing at all wrong with that. But at the same time, what we know is that the great majority of jobs in this state and across the state are created by the smallest companies. These are small entrepreneurs, people that use their creativity, their initiative, and in many cases their economic courage to make something out of nothing. Something out of nothing. Intel started on a kitchen table. Nike started in somebody's garage. My own company started our shipping out of our laundry room. And what we're looking for is an opportunity for the next generation of success stories to be encouraged and facilitated and move forward in much the same way. So we have these small companies, and in many, many cases, what we see is that they're flying under the radar. They are intimidated or put off by a plethora of fees and forms, and so they don't file their permits, they don't file their registrations, and as I say, they operate under the radar. And when they do step up and do things the right way, very often what happens is the first contact they get is a bill for a local license. They may get a requirement for conditional use zoning changes, or they end up getting an income tax form from local government for a personal property that the business may be using. And I would submit to you that what we really want is that we want to get these people on the radar, we want to get them properly signed up, and then the very first contact they should have should be from their Small Business Development Center saying, here are the resources that we've got available to help you succeed. So I'm pleased that these bills are here before you, and I would submit to you that I think this is a great place to start a conversation about how we empower small businesses across the state of Oregon. Are the bills perfect? I think, as Representative McEwen suggested, that there's room for changes in here, and I anticipate that you'll be having conversations with local governments about how we can streamline the process without unnecessarily burdening them. I know you'll be talking to the Secretary of State's office about the good work that they've been doing to create one-stop permitting for smaller businesses. But at the end of this process, what we're doing is we're having a conversation, and we're sending a message to Oregon's smallest businesses that we care about you too, and we want to invest in your success. So that's the message I wanted to share with you, and a notion of why I got behind these two bills right away. I'm delighted that they're up early in the session.
Okay, thank you very much. Very good job. Do we have any questions of the panel? Representative Barton.
Thank you, Chair Doherty. A comment, really. I think when I was here previously, my first bill was on some kind of obscure provision in probate law. It was something so boring that even I couldn't take it. I just wanted to compliment you, details notwithstanding, that right out of the gate you're working on trying to get people back to work. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other questions of the panelists? Thank you very much. Excellent job.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Doherty.
Okay, I would also like to call up people who signed up, Daryl Fuller and Scott Winkles. And this is on,
both bills.
These are on both bills, so. Unless you would like to split them out and go back and come back again, it's up to you.
Chair Doherty, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Scott Winkles, and I represent the League of Oregon Cities. I would like to open my comments by thanking Representative McEwen for being open to our input on this legislation. We had some concerns with the bill as drafted, and I think we are working through those. And I'd simply like to put those on the record. League would recommend that the language be changed to simply require creation of jobs or addition of employees. The requirement in the bill is required that employees be Oregon residents or that they be on unemployment insurance. I'm not aware of any statute that would allow a business owner to proactively commit to hiring an employee that lives in Oregon or that is on unemployment insurance. I think they would create some liability. That might create some liability for them, and we would have no way of verifying if that's the case. So we would simply say that we want to. The bill would apply to people who commit to create so many jobs. That would be our first issue. Secondly, the descriptors for non-monetary assistance. It's a non-inclusive list. We would recommend we make that an inclusive list. Simply say includes or is, instead of is but not limited to. We believe that the requirements of this bill and the expectations should be clear for all parties involved. And lastly, we do have some concern that the bill does not prescribe any sort of resolution process should there a dispute arise between the business owner and the local government as to whether or not they met the requirements of the statutes. But so we would request that there be language inserted that it doesn't give a party a right of action to sue the city for noncompliance. We would be open to another dispute resolution process, but we would be concerned about creating a legal liability on the part of the city should a dispute arise, because I don't think that's what the intent is. The intent is we streamline the process and get people to work. With that, I'm open and eager for your questions.
Do you have any questions of Mr. Winkles? Seeing none, Mr. Fuller?
That's okay, Madam Chair. Just real quick, I just want to be clear. So you have some concerns the way it's written, but the spirit of the bill, I think we can agree that it, you know, the intent of the bill is to get some folks to work and get some folks, you know, from their garage onto Main Street and start, you know, start developing business. So you're committed to assisting and working through this process with Representative McEwen and Representative Gomberg. Is that, I mean, pretty much sum it up?
Representative Doherty, Chairman Doherty, Representative Matthews, you are correct. We are committed to addressing these concerns. I don't think anything we've brought up are, based on my conversations, are insurmountable.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Mr. Fuller?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Darrell Fuller. My clients include the Oregon Small Business Coalition, the State Association of Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling Contractors, Oregon Vehicle Dealers Association, and Northwest Auto Trades Association. And I'm here today, as Representative McEwen mentioned, the groups I represent haven't yet had their first legislative committee meeting, so I can't say that they've endorsed the two bills that you're hearing this morning, but based on my experience with my clients, I'm pretty confident in saying that they really appreciate Representative McEwen bringing these issues forward, especially freshman legislators come to the building initially with real enthusiasm about some issues that they've dealt with during their campaign, whether that be education or health care or public safety. And Representative McEwen has seen, and Representative Gomberg have seen, what has happened in their small communities on the coast due to the economy, and they've come to Salem and they want to help. And they understand the impact that small businesses have on the local communities, not only on employment, but in providing the tax base necessary to fund schools and health care and other areas of public service. And so we appreciate her stepping out and introducing these bills. She mentioned that this was her fifth day in the building, and I was reminded that January 1987 was my first day in the building. And so I've grasped a certain number of issues during that time period, and it makes me think that I think Representative Barton was probably in about first grade at that time. I've been around just a little while, and you've seen different proposals come and go regarding small business. I'll point out a couple things about these two bills that I hope you'll take to heart as you continue this discussion. On House Bill 2642, there's a blank line in the bill that you have to promise to hire X number of employees. On behalf of the small business community, I would encourage you to keep that number in single digits if possible. Certainly not more than a couple of digits, because we're talking about small businesses, not big businesses. And if just a portion of the small businesses that are already here in Oregon could afford to hire just one more employee, we could overnight eclipse what Nike promised to bring when we had a special session for them not too long ago. And I'm not against what the session did for Nike, but small businesses in Oregon create an awful lot more employees than Nike does. And so just a little bit of help for small businesses can go a long way. On House Bill 2643, as they investigate the fees that local governments and the state governments charge to businesses and especially startups, I'm reminded of an issue that I dealt with quite a number of years ago with the Department of Environmental Quality, where they started a process of creating permits for checking the water that's discharged from your business into the streets that then runs in through the gutters and out into the rivers. And so they had a license or a fee that you have to get, and you pay, it was about $120 or $130 a year in order to get this permit to test your water. And the perspective that the Department of Environmental Quality has was, well, that's a fairly reasonable permit. It's only a little over $100. Now, they didn't fail to grasp, but what the business community had a more difficult time with is that permit required the local business to hire an environmental consulting company to come test their water once a month for about $250 or $300 every month to hire the business to come in and do it. So while their view of the fee was only $100 or something and should be not difficult for a small business to take that fee in, what I hope, as the Secretary of State does this research, is that they will not only look at the cost cost of the fee, but the cost of implementing the different fees and the different permits and licenses that small businesses have to deal with all the time. And sometimes it's that other expense that maybe state agencies don't always take into account. And so as the Secretary of State is doing this work, we hope that they will consider that as well as just the fee that they have to pay to the state agency or the local agency. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. Any questions of the panel? Okay, seeing none, thank you very much for your comments.
You.
Very, very constructive. Just in kind of an overview before we gavel out on the public hearing is the idea of bringing business, in fact, this reminds me of my very first bill that I brought, which was the access to business capital, and realizing that an idea that started out very small and it was not a very large amount of money by state standards created about 350 jobs. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but in Baker County and in Malheur County and these others, it was very good. So I compliment you on your bills, and I am just very convinced that you'll be working with the parties and coming back to us with a bill that will benefit a lot of people. Thank you very much. Okay, I close the public hearing on House Bills 2642 and 2643. And open up a public hearing on House Bill 2242. Please read what the preliminary statement is on the bill.
Madam Chair, committee members, House Bill 2242, it allows the Employment Department to use an alternate definition of base year only if that alternate makes a person eligible to receive their unemployment insurance benefits. There's no revenue impact, and we have not yet requested to see the fiscal impact.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, good morning. Thank you. My name is David Gerstenfeld. I'm the Assistant Director for Unemployment Insurance at the Employment Department. Here speaking in favor of House Bill 2242, we do see this as a housekeeping bill. Currently, when someone files a claim for unemployment insurance benefits, we look at a set period of time to see if they have worked enough and had enough earnings to qualify for benefits. That's a base year period, and that's set by statute. If they do not have enough earnings to qualify for a claim, the statute provides that we look at a slightly more recent period of time, the alternate base year. Current law requires us to move people who do not have a valid regular claim to that alternate base year claim, even if they wouldn't have a valid claim under that new alternate base year. So the point of this bill is to allow us to avoid moving people from one invalid claim to another. There's some administrative efficiencies for us, and it would allow us to minimize some giving information to claimants that can be confusing, trying to explain to them why we've taken them from one claim that doesn't get them benefits and put them on another claim that doesn't get them benefits. So this doesn't impact eligibility at all. It really is just a housekeeping and efficiency measure.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions of the panelists?
Okay. You know, I'm just going to make one comment just for the record. Thank you. Because when I first read the bill, I thought, okay, looks like it could be opening up the, you know, big can of worms, expanding eligibility and making, you know, the withdrawals from the fund a lot more prevalent. But I was happy to hear that it wasn't any such thing, and it was just a matter of being, you know, a less confusing process for the people applying for unemployment, and also not changing anything substantively. So I appreciate that.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Thank you much for your comment. Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to comment, follow up with that. I think this is a really good good bill and is actually a win-win for both the claimant and the department. And I appreciate the efficiency part of this and also making sure people get benefits when they're eligible for them.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much for testifying.
Thank you.
We have no one else signed up to speak on this bill, so I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2242. Do we have any other business? Any comments, questions? Congratulations on finishing your first week, and for those of you, Representative Fagan, and I believe you are the only one that has not been here before. This was an unusual week. I don't know if we want to call it the legislature on steroids, but we went through a lot of information, lots of meetings, going very, very fast, and I compliment you all on the first week of the Business and Labor Committee. I think we were trying to move and get bills out as long as they were vetted properly and people felt comfortable moving them out. and also realizing that this is a heavy load committee, trying to spread things out, and so for the rest of the wonderful session that we're going to have, you'll be getting agendas early. They are subject to change. But I appreciate all you've been doing. Thank you all very much. I adjourn the meeting of the House Business and Labor Committee, and have a good weekend. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.